turn to, I'm going to tell you to turn to two passages of Scripture. I always like to have you turn to two, one in the New Testament, or you can click to it on your phone. Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 in the New Testament, and then also Deuteronomy chapter 28 in the Old Testament, and get you familiar with turning. I still bring my black book to the pulpit, and I always will, I believe, because that's where I started at, but I know a lot of this next generation that's coming up goes in their phone, and that's okay too. Thank God for Bible apps on the phone. But however you get there, because we're going to learn how to get unstuck today. Look at somebody and say, unstuck it. Not stick it, unstuck it, okay? Unstuck it. That's what we're going to want to learn today. And this message, I actually received this message through a daily devotional that I get. I read lots of different things during the week and devotionals that really minister to me, but also came out of a situation that happened to me here a few weeks ago. How many of you know that God speaks to you through your circumstances in life, if you'll allow him to? And I had a situation. I have a 2001 Ford F-150 Super Cab pickup that I love. It's my hunting and fishing truck. It's the thing that I haul trash off with around the house, and it's been running great. And I pulled it over to the side of our garage one day, and I parked it here a few weeks ago, and I went to get in it a few days later, and it would not start. I mean, it just, the power came on and everything, and when I turned the ignition, it just wouldn't do anything. And I thought, well, maybe I left a light on in here, and my dome light or something, and the battery went dead. And so, you know, I popped the hood. I do know how to do that. I do have a little bit of mechanically inclined a little bit, so I popped the hood. And I thought, well, I can tell the battery cables need to be cleaned, and I can tell different things. And I thought, well, I'm just going to do the first thing I know to do is to jump this thing. I'm going to get the jumper cables and jump it. So I called Keaton, my little nephew. He comes over to the house, and so me and him, we jump it. And that didn't help. Didn't do anything. And I thought, what is the deal? And so Keaton got in there. And he turned the key on. He said, well, Uncle Mark, it sounds like you got power. I mean, everything, when I turn the key, everything comes on. So I don't think it's the battery. And then Keaton, he hangs out with his dad. I tell this, Matt, my brother, who's 3 years younger than me, he got all the mechanical aptitude. I didn't get any. Now, I do know how to change a flat and that you need to change your oil every 3,000 miles or 5,000 miles. Kids, you need to do that. You need to, before you leave home, you need to know how to change your oil and change a flat. And everybody said, that's about the extent of my mechanical aptitude right there. But so Keaton goes, he grows up in with Matt, my brother, that's his daddy. He knows a little bit more about mechanics than I do. He said, Uncle Mark, I think it's your starter. And I said, well, how much is one of those? And he said, oh, probably about $150, $200. And I was like, well, great. That's just great, you know. And he said, but I don't know. You know, he might get my dad to come over here. And I was like, oh, let's get dad over here. So I called Matt. Matt comes over. And Matt sits there and he goes, no, I don't think it's your starter. And he's messing around with it. And he finally shows me this little deal up there at the top of the engine, this little box about this big around. And he arcs across it and it starts. My pickup starts. He said, well, it's your solenoid. It's your starting solenoid. I said, well, how much is one of those? He said, oh, probably about $40. I said, well, that's better than $200, you know. And some of you guys are looking at me like, duh, Pastor Mark, I cannot believe that you didn't know what a starting solenoid was. I don't. And so I just knew that it was something between the battery and the engine and they weren't communicating. And it wasn't starting my vehicle, and I could not move. I was stuck beside my garage. And so as I've been pondering that, Matt helped me, you know, and I've got the part, and so now I'm going to have Matt come over this week and help me put that part on, and then I will be able to move outside of my garage. And I have been thinking about that ever since that day that happened, and the Lord used a devotional that I read and that incident to really speak to me. That the Lord said, Mark, there's something between the battery and the engine that is stopping your movement. And I said, what is it, God? And he said, it's your thinking. The same old thinking will get the same old results. That starting solenoid is like your mind. And the battery is like your spirit. The engine's like your body. You're not going to move until you get that solenoid fixed, until you get your mind fixed. So how many of you feel like you've been stuck? I have been too. I think there's times in your life that we feel it could be stuck in a job. It could be stuck, you know, I shouldn't say marriage. But you just feel in those stuck places, you know. Back up, Mark, because my wife's over here on the front row. She's like, we're stuck together like glue, baby, forever. We're coming up on celebrating 26 years of marriage on August 22nd. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that Jada has lots of grace and forgiveness in her soul. But that was what the Lord really spoke to me through that thing that happened to me, was the same old thinking will get the same old results. So I want to teach all of us this morning, including myself, and I'm practicing this as I preach today and as I teach this. I'm going to give you three things, so you can write down 1, 2, and 3 on the back of your notes there, in your sermon notes. Three things to do when you feel stuck. All right? That's what we're going to look at today. Three things to do when you feel stuck. Now, I've got to ask you this question, because you've got to answer this for yourself. You can't look at your spouse, if your spouse is here today, or somebody else, or a family member, or whatever. Is, are you willing to change? Look at somebody and say that. Are you willing to change? Say it to yourself. Am I willing to change? Because that's all these three things that I'm going to teach you today has to do with a choice. It all comes down to a choice. And sometimes we're stuck in life. I do know, and I've been teaching here in the last few Sundays about spiritual warfare, and we do have an enemy of our soul, but we have overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Jesus overcame him at the cross. But there are some times in our walks, and I'm teaching you the ways of God today is what I'm teaching you. Moses said, show us your ways, God. Just teach me your ways. And so that's what I'm teaching today. In our walks with God, you got to get this, guys. You really got to understand this. It's not all up to God. We're in a relationship. And so in a relationship, it's not all up to Jada. I've got a part to play in it too. Amen? And the same thing with our relationship with God is there's a part that we have to play in it. There's a responsibility on our end. We have to, it's a partnership. It's a relationship. So there's something you have to do. Look at somebody and say, there's something you have to do. There's something you have to do. So every one of these that I'm going to show you today in the Word of God is a choice. And so here's number one. Here's number one. Pay attention to the ifs in the Bible. Pay attention to the ifs in the Bible. You've got to read the ifs in the Bible. You can't have the blessings without fulfilling the ifs. Look at somebody and say, you got to fulfill the ifs. Okay, I love audience participation because that helps us get out of here quicker. If you don't participate, then we're going to stay in here for a while. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, there we go. Thanks, Clark. Wake them up in here. But let me show you this in Scripture. Romans 10:9. I told you to turn to Romans 10. Romans 10:9, and I'm going to read this out of the NIV version. And I'm going to show you this. You started your relationship with the Lord with an if, by obeying an if. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, everybody say Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. That's all it takes to be saved. That's all it takes. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. As soon as you declare that with your mouth, you confess that with your mouth, as soon as you believe that in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that your spirit is reborn, you're born again. Now, your walk with the Lord starts, and what he starts working on is you, your character. God cleans you up. And you know what? It takes a lifetime. He's still working on me. How many of you are works in progress? I'm a ginormous work in progress. And Jada's over there going, hey, man. And she's part of that process. If you're married, then you know as your spouse, you work on each other. God uses that. It's amazing, the mystery of marriage. So you started your relationship with the Lord with an if. I wanted you to see that. Now, I'm going to show you different scriptures. There's a whole lot of ifs in the Bible. We could be here all day. I encourage you to go home and study the word if in the Bible. And find, you know, one of these may be your promise today that I share, but whatever you're believing God for, go into the word of God and find that promise, and there will be an if attached to it somewhere. And your part in that promise is fulfilling that if, is doing the if. Now, here's one for you in Exodus 15:26. A lot of us like to quote, I always like to quote the last part of this scripture where it says, "I am the Lord who heals you." That's a promise from God, but there's an if attached to it. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of these diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And when you first read that, and I know if you've never read the Word of God or never studied the Word of God, when you first read that, it sounds like that God is bringing diseases on people, and he's not. God didn't bring diseases on the Egyptians. In fact, if you actually know the goodness of God, God wanted to save the Egyptians, but it was their disobedience and their hard-headedness and their stiff neck and their stubbornness that caused diseases to come upon them. It was their disobedience. So when God's speaking to you, Mark Haney, about not eating tubs of peanut butter so you can be healthy, I need to obey. I mean, we need to make this practical. You need to make it practical. When you want to do a line of Oreos with a big tall glass of milk, and you do that every night for the rest of your life, there's going to be consequences. Amen? How many of you do a line? I do a line. Forget one or two. Do a line. So, and I'm just telling off on myself because that's how practical God wants to get with us. He wants to teach us what to eat, what to drink. Jade and I have been on this deal, and we're still learning about it, and I encourage you to do this. It's amazing. The Bible talks about life is in the blood, right? And there are different blood types. And we found out what we're supposed to be eating and what we're not supposed to be eating according to our blood type. And it's amazing. It's fascinating. Jade and I are both A negative. And so as an A negative, I'm not supposed to eat steak. That is crazy. Because I love steak. And Kenny's over here going, "I ain't leaving reading that book. I ain't even, you know." But if you're O, which Mark is, I know Mark's at O, they can eat all the steak they want, you know, amen. I mean, and that's his lineage. They were eating buffalo, so Mark's an Indian, I can say that. Mark's a Potawatomi Indian. But I was supposed to be eating fish. I need to be by the stream eating trout and bass and all that kind of stuff. That's what I'm supposed to be eating for my blood type. And you know what, guys? It is amazing. When I started reading that and that knowledge came to me, I realized that after I ate steak for like 2 or 3 days, I felt like I had a hangover. And don't ask me how I know what a hangover feels like. But I mean, that's the way I felt because that food was inside of me and it wasn't what I was supposed to be eating. And God was saying, okay, now that you've heard this and you know this about you, obey it. And you won't be having any kind of diseases and sickness and all those kind of things. Everybody see the practicality of this? It's very practical if we'll do it. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, even down to what you eat or you don't eat and those kind of things, I mean, God wants to help you live an abundant life, spirit, soul, and body. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, here's another scripture that I love because I always like to quote the last part of that. Or the first part of it, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And everybody hoops and hollers, yeah, I'm the head and not the tail. Praise God, it's always good to be the head and not the tail. But if you keep reading, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. So there's that if. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. And I want you to notice in all these ifs, we are more hard-headed than what we think. We are more stubborn than what we think. We are more prideful than what we think. And God is just saying, if you'll humble yourself and listen to me and pay attention to my commands, everything will go well with you. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll be at the top and never at the bottom. And everybody said, amen. One of the things that we teach around here is about tithing, and it's about giving the first 10% of your income to the Lord. And if you will do that, you will be blessed. The Bible talks about it in Malachi chapter 3. Read it. It just talks about if you'll do that, you'll be blessed, that God himself will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. You know, it's one thing if you rebuke the enemy. It's a whole other thing if God does it. I want God rebuking the devourer for my sake. And if you do that, then you will be blessed. Guys, I cannot tell you, and I don't like to get up here and say different things and try to, you know, I do not ever want to come across as a pastor or as a spiritual leader as manipulating people to give, because that's, I don't believe in that one iota. And when I hear a preacher or a minister doing that, I immediately shut them off. Give me $1,000 and you'll be blessed. No, don't believe in any of that, but I do believe in obeying the Word of God and obeying this principle called the tithe. And I've just seen God work blessings in our lives spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, relationally, financially, and we've been doing it ever since we got saved back in 1993. And we just see, we tithe today. It's just, I cannot describe when God opens the windows over you, just blessings that you can't even have room enough to receive it. And I could stand up here all day and tell you testimony after testimony after testimony. And it's not just financial blessings, it's all kinds of blessings. And it's just good to live under an open heaven. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's another scripture to go with this. Isaiah 1, verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Everybody say, willing and obedient. All right, now listen to this. Being willing is extremely important to the Lord. Willingness brings the reward. Amen. Willingness brings the reward. If you're a parent in here, you understand this. God's like our, God is our Father. And willingness brings the reward. When you tell your child to do something and they're obedient but they're not willing, do you really want to reward them? No. No way, Jose. But when you tell them to do something and they're obedient and they have a good attitude and they're willingly doing it, you want to reward them. Same goes in our relationship with God. I want you to post and tweet this. If you're on social media, post and tweet this today that you've been at Harvest Fellowship Church and you actually learned something today, okay? Post and tweet this sentence. You have a responsibility in receiving from God. You have a responsibility in receiving from God. We're living in a day and hour in a culture and society that does not, we've taken that R word out, responsibility. Everybody's entitled. You're not entitled to anything from God. You have a responsibility in receiving from God. It's a two-way, it's a relationship, it's a partnership. Everybody post and tweet that right now so everybody knows you're at church. You have a responsibility in receiving from God. So what that tells us and what that tells me is, let me back up here. I had a guy one time get so ticked off at me, somebody who I love dearly, somebody who I want to see get free, somebody who has battled addiction after addiction after addiction in his life. But here's what this guy would never do. He would never, ever take responsibility. Even when it was right in front of his face, he would never take responsibility. And his cop-out was always blaming the devil. And I finally was the one that told him, I told him in love, buddy, you've got a responsibility in this. You need to change. You need to do whatever it takes to change. He didn't like that. He still hasn't changed. He didn't like that because he always wants to blame the devil. How many of you know the devil was defeated 2,000 years ago? And I told him that. The devil was defeated 2,000 years ago. He goes, well, he's still beating me from pillar to post. And I was like, no, he's not. You are. Amen. You are. You're the one that's choosing to do this and bring your family through it and everything. You can change. You can. And God will help you when you decide to do that. I'll get off my soapbox now. No. But that's we just throw that word responsibility out. Even in our walks with God, we throw it out. And say, well, if God don't do it, no. He wants to do it, but you got to work with him. Everybody said amen. All right, so be willing to change. Be willing to humble yourself. Be willing to be quiet. And I said that in a nice way. Be willing to shut up and just hear from God. Be willing to do what God says. Just like there's a story in the Bible I was thinking about this week of Moses. My gosh, I feel for Moses. He was a pastor of, you know, conservatively 1.5 million people is what they say, conservatively. Can you imagine pastoring that many people? And I know what it's like pastoring 50. And I can't even imagine Moses with that kind of responsibility. And there was one day God told him in his walk and feeding and watering these people, God told him to strike a rock, and he did. If you know the scripture, he struck the rock, water came out and watered everybody. And then a little bit later, the same situation happened again, and Moses by this time was being warned as a pastor. He was getting ticked off. I'll just tell you the way it was, getting ticked off with the people. And God told him, I want you to speak to the rock in front of the people, and it'll give them water. What did God tell him? This obedience deal. If you're willing and obedient, speak to it. And the Bible says that Moses went up there and he spoke to the rock, but he also hit it with his stick several times because he was ticked off. And water came out. He was obedient. He wasn't willing. And he didn't do it exactly how God told him to do. And if you know the word, he didn't get to go into the promised land because he disobeyed God. So there are still consequences for disobedience. There's I believe in God's grace and I preach it and teach it. Y'all know that. But there's this other deal called responsibility, and there are consequences to our choices that you still have to live out. God forgives you, God loves you, but there's responsibility. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number two. Everybody's ready for me to get off of number one. I can tell everybody's like, my gosh, go to number two. Because, you know, when you start talking about responsibility and the ifs in the Bible, we all get quiet, and I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself today, and I'm really going to preach to myself on this one. Number two, take love to the next level. Take love to the next level. I'm telling you guys, we have to walk in love. We have to walk in love. It's easier said than done, and I'm going to tell you a few stories. I'm going to start off with a funny story. Last week, Ty Barker was here, Ty and Debbie, and he brought a great message. I encourage you to go watch it if you weren't here. Anxious for Nothing, great, great word. We all needed to hear it. I needed to hear it. And so afterwards, we took Ty and Debbie out to eat lunch, and we went to eat lunch, and then they were going to head on home to Tulsa. And so we go outside, and we were leaving from eating lunch, and we go outside, and I'd parked right next to Ty. I'd parked right next to Ty. And Ty, he goes over and he opens the door for his wife, Debbie. And I was like, okay, I can't let this guy one-up me right here in front of my wife. So I'm going to go over and open the door for Jada, all right? So I go over and I open the door for Jada. And they're getting in. Debbie's getting in her car. Ty's got the door open for her. And they're just the model couple that's like, they do this all the time, right? I'm doing it for Jada, and Jada looks at me and she goes, am I driving today? Because I'm opening the door for me to get in. I was like, you just didn't say that. And Ty and Debbie look at me and just start dying laughing. And I was like, just get in the car. And so she gets in the car and we take off. We take off on home. I guess Ty and Debbie, they called me on Monday, the day after, and he said, Mark, we laughed about that all the way to Tulsa. And I said, yeah, I laughed about it and got on to Jade all the way home to Leedy. It was so funny. So God got on to me and was like, you need to take your love to another level. You're taking Jada too much for granted. So guys, we need to open the doors for our wives. Even if you've been married for 26 years like we have, you need to still do it. Take your love to a whole nother level. Don't take each other for granted. All right, Galatians 5:6 says, this is the scripture that goes with this, take love to the next level. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. So basically what Paul's saying, all this stuff that y'all are trying to do on the outside of your bodies, to follow Christ. That doesn't matter anything to God. What matters to God, it says, but faith working through love. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ working through love. So let me tell you what the divine love gauge is. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down, you can post and tweet it. This is the divine love gauge. And I wish I could tell you that I'm Mr. Perfect up here at this, because I'm not. But the divine love gauge is this: how touchy and easily offended are you? That's the divine love gauge. Everybody's looking at me like, oh my gosh, here we go. How touchy and easily offended are you? Can I tell you a story? Can I tell you, being in ministry, you have all kinds of opportunity to be offended. I've had to learn this and relearn it and relearn it and relearn it and learn it again and relearn it and relearn it and relearn it. I'll never forget this, and I think Dusty's back there making sure everything's going okay, but I'll never forget this. This happened on a Sunday morning a long time ago. By the way, this is one of the reasons why I decided to do away with our phone out here, just because you have people call. I shouldn't say that. That sounded bad, because you have people call the church. That sounded bad. But we live in a day and age where everybody's on cell phones now, right? So we had a landline, and we were paying out the nose for something that we barely even used around here at all. And so we went with Great Plains Internet for our internet service with Eric McFall. If you haven't gone with him, I would highly encourage it. It's a great service. And then so we just did away with our landline out here and just with our cell phone. And one of the stories that I remembered when we were doing away with the phone was this one right here. Was one Sunday morning before church, you know how at 9:30, I think it's on KECO, where they do the broadcast of our service from the week before. They do the teaching part on KECO. And I had a guy call who sounded like he had probably been out pretty late the night before, if you're following my drift, and had listened. Thank God he listened. I'm praying he got something out of it. But he had to call me up and tell me that somebody was mad at me. And it was before service. Dusty answered the phone, said, Pastor Mark, somebody's wanting you on the phone. So I answered the phone, and he starts telling me, hey, my sister and her husband, they're offended at you because you didn't go visit them when they were sick. And I said, I had no idea. They'd only been to our church a few times, and I was like, I have no idea who this, I didn't even know they were sick, you know. And so I'm apologizing all over myself. And but then I could kind of tell that there was something, like I said, he'd been out all night probably or something, been out late. And he goes, and he got forceful with me on the phone. He said, well, by gosh, you need to go visit him. And I said, no, I don't. And I said, I said, are they still sick? And he said, well, no, that's been a long time ago. And I said, well, here's the deal. And my Tabasco sauce is going up, okay? Because I'm a human being, all right? I'm not Superman. My Tabasco sauce is starting to escalate, and I'm trying to pray this out. And he said, well, you need to go visit him. And I said, well, here's the deal. I want to tell you something. I'm not going to go visit him, and I don't want you to get offended, because I'm not. And then all of a sudden this guy, because I got forceful back with him, I had to say that in a pretty forceful, I said, I'm not going to go visit them because they're not sick anymore, and I don't want you to get offended because I'm not going to go visit them. And right at that point, the guy broke down, started bawling on the phone. It was a mess, okay, because like I said, I was like, he'd been out way too long the night before. So I prayed for him, got off the phone, and when I got off the phone, it was so funny because Dusty was sitting at that desk, at Patricia's desk, and I got off the phone because I was in my office when I took him. Dusty heard everything, and Dusty looked at me and said, I am so sorry, Pastor Mark. I said, it's okay. God's teaching me something through this. And here's the thing he's teaching me. Don't get touchy and easily offended. That's your divine love gauge. Guys, I'm telling you, I have to do this all the time. And I'm gonna show a slide here because I wrote down some of the things that we all deal with. A hurt or betrayal that builds into bitterness and unforgiveness over time. I know I can go around the room here, and I know some of y'all's stories. I know you've been through a lot of hurts and a lot of betrayals. Don't let that put up your walls. We still need relationships. We need each other. You need the church. Don't say, well, I went to church and got hurt and offended. We all need each other. Amen. You need a family. And you know what? In relationships, you're going to get hurt and there's going to be those things. But that's where we need to learn that divine love gauge and practice forgiveness. And everybody said amen. Spending time watching or listening to negative critical programming. Guys, be careful. I know, you know, I like to watch the news just like anybody. But sometimes it gets so negative and critical, you just got to turn it off. Give an ear to the voice of bitter or critical people on a regular basis. Just try to limit your time around people like that. Don't get around them. If you make those pre-made decisions, if you know somebody like that, I'm just not going to spend time with them. Failing to receive a promise you've been standing for in faith and allowing disappointment to turn into cynicism or envy. That's in your relationship with God. Sometimes we can get offended at God. And then this last one really spoke to me because I think I deal with all three. Allowing your flesh to develop a habit of complaining about drivers on the road. Oh my gosh, that's me right there. Talking about other people at church. Griping to your spouse about the neighbors. I've done all three. I'm just going to confess since we're in church. I did a lot of the complaining about drivers on the road because I spent this last week driving in Dallas-Fort Worth traffic. That is not fun. That'll test your Christianity every day. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I was definitely thanking God for that I lived in Western Oklahoma. But I read all these. How many of you have dealt with all those or some of them? We all have. And here's the thing that I'm telling you. Every one of those are correctable with a choice. Every one of them. And if you find yourself slip into one, that's okay. Just God forgive me. He'll forgive you. I'm going to learn from this and move on. I'm not going to fall prey to that again. And everybody said amen. Amen. All right, here I'm going to read this. This is 1 Corinthians 13. This is the love chapter where the Apostle Paul talks about love. And this is verses 4 through 8. I love these scriptures, and I encourage you to put these on a 3x5 note card and put them in your vehicle, put them on your refrigerator, put them somewhere on your bathroom mirror, somewhere where you see them all the time. Because every day you got to choose to walk in love. And your faith is what works by love. And I wanted to read this out of the Message Bible because it says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for yourself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head. I love how the Message Bible puts it. Doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies, or love never fails. So we need to take our love walk to a whole new level. Look at somebody and say, you need to take it to another level. All right, here's the last one. Number three is increase your Bible patience. And there's a reason why I said Bible patience, because there's a patience that people think that they have, but there's a whole other patience, and it's Bible patience. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is being patient. And I'm not a very patient person. Jada can attest to that. And I'm kind of the guy that's like, give me patience and I want it now. But that's not how it works with God. God likes to, when you're in that stage of waiting or patience, that's when God's working on your character and working on who you are. And this is Hebrews 6 verses 12 and James 1 verse 4. Hebrews 6 verse 12 says, imitate those who through faith and patience, everybody say faith and patience, inherit the promises of God. It's going to take faith and it's going to take patience. Then James 1:4 says, but let patience have its perfect work. There it is. It's working perfectly if you let it work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So what this is basically saying, these two scriptures, with faith you get started and with patience you finish the race. With faith you get started and with patience you finish the race. Bible patience won't be talked out of it. You stay with it until the answer comes. That's what Bible patience is. Everybody learn something today?
Amen.
All right. All three of these are a choice. Pay attention to the ifs in the Bible. This is your walk with God. It's your responsibility. Number two is take your love to the next level. When God convicts you about some area, i.e. opening the car door for your spouse, I need to do that more often. I need to take that to a whole nother level so she doesn't say, am I driving today? Number three, increase your Bible patience. Number three, increase your Bible patience. I pray that this has helped you in your walk with God today. Okay, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer of what we talked about in Romans chapter 10, where it says, if you do this, if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart, you will be born again. And so that's the promise. If you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be born again. And so I want to lead you in this prayer of doing that. It's called the prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved and you do know the Lord and you have a relationship with Him, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Now, I'm going to have Mark is going to come and dismiss us here in just a second, but I want to speak the pastoral blessing over you guys. And Jade and I are going to go back here at the back so we can greet everybody this morning, as we didn't get to say hi to everybody here today. But if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, or the first time that you said, you know, Pastor Mark, I really meant that. I meant when I confess that with my mouth and I believed it in my heart, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism, and just get with me after service because we can do that. Maybe you've been baptized before and you want to do it again. We can do it. I've been baptized twice. The second one took. That's the way I like to say it. So but I want to speak this blessing over you. So if you're sitting next to your spouse or family, I want you to grab their hands. And, babe, will you come on up here with me? And I'm going to speak this blessing over all of us, okay? And I want you to receive this, and then Mark's going to come and dismiss us. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much for what we've learned here today from your word. God, your word brings instruction. It brings correction. And God, this is one of those words today that we receive it, and we want to do exactly what we learned today. We want to pay attention to the ifs that are in the Bible, do our part, be responsible with our part. God, also, we want to take our love to another level, our love walk with you. And that divine love gauge is how easily, you know, we're offended. And so, Lord, we don't want to be offensive people, God, and are easily offended. We want to be able to just love people right where they're at and minister your love to them. And then, God, we want to be able to let that Bible patience have its perfect work within us, God, in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we choose to do all three of these things in our walk with you. And, God, I want to speak a blessing over everyone here today, over every family that's represented here today, over every marriage that's represented here today, over everybody that's watching on Church's Aid today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny and purpose that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Mark, come on up here.
Amen. All right, there we go. Hey, stand up. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's an awesome word. I had one assignment, get the mic so when you come up, I didn't have to go up on stage. I failed, Pastor. I was 0 for my one assignment of having my mic in hand. By the way, the stakes are laid out, Pastor. I like a medium or medium rare, so I can handle that. There is a limit, guys, though, to how much of that you can eat, I promise. I always like to just say something on what that spoke to me, and because I know we all get a revelation of God, and we all are, I pray that we're all seeking, but at one point in time for me, I'm going, you know, I did make that conclusion to love first. I did make that conclusion. And what it spoke to me today through Pastor Mark's word was, and this is going to speak to somebody here. Do you realize that you're wrong by nature first? Ooh. And then it's a choice to be right by nature by seeking the word, amen, and following God's plan. Wow. And then when I gained that revelation, I went through life going, I gained this revelation, guys. I'm running around going, I'm wrong all the time. I mean, in my flesh, amen. And I know that's speaking to a lot of you there. But getting in the word and doing what Pastor Mark said, it started with love, but then believing God at his word. So every day I started getting these little nuggets out when I wrote on it going, wow, today I get a chance to get better. I can flip this in my mind. And at some point what God wants is for that to flip where his choices are first instead of being last. And that's what it really spoke to me. And I've lived that. Am I right all the time? No, it's this roller coaster and we've all been there. But I know how many people that just spoke to that the conclusion sometime to humble ourselves before God and say, God, you're right. I'm wrong first so that I can make you right. That would be the one word that I felt God spoke to me during that message. And that's so powerful. And the love deal, I've never went to relationships or anybody or anything that love's ever failed me yet. I'm just telling you, and in God's way, if you do it in God's way, in the kindness and love of God, love never fails. It's a true fact. I've had to choose that when I didn't feel like it. And somebody here has got somebody in your life that you're going to have to go to them, and it's not going to feel good, and you're just going to have to love them anyway. I got somebody right now I need to do that with. Just love them first. Doesn't matter how bad it hurts, because I'm going to trust God and say, trust my feelings, amen. So somebody here needs to take that word today. And I feel a great anticipation. I want to speak that going forward. A lot of people here have a great expectation of something new, amen. There's a dawn, not only for our church, but for your families, your home, your lives. I speak that over you today in Jesus' name. Let's come together and let iron sharpen iron in this ministry, amen. And let's be here for one another and let's expect great things. Let's move forward believing in God at his word. Let's believe that when we leave here today, all right? It's going to be a great, great, from this point on, great day, great week, great month, great year. And even if it looks rocky, let's trust God, not what we see. Let's believe it in, okay? Let's believe it by faith. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, I'm so thankful for your word. Thankful, God, that we can make conclusions, that you gave us a mind to think, but you gave us your word of what to think by. And Lord, I pray today that we would leave here understanding that your plan's better than ours. And God, I just thank Pastor Mark for being obedient, God, to bring in the word that we all need to hear. God, I'm thankful because the people are not here by mistake, Lord. Bless them this week, God, and when we leave here, because I just feel, God, there's people here that were going, I'm just going to go to church today. And God, you had an appointment for them to be here today. You had an appointment. And God, they leave here, and God, they just grab a hold of your word today and stick with it. God, we just thank you and praise you for what you're going to do, and God, what you've already done. God, that we have a chance, we have a hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name, God, be with us and bless us till next time. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Hug somebody. Give the Lord another hand clap. That's good stuff, guys.
Consequence